Friday, the 29th of January, Yudalad Shvat, Rabbi Jeremy Conway, Shabbos Shira, and the State Banquet.
Shalom Aleichem, Merav Rabbeisai. I'm very honored to have been invited back to share some thoughts with you once again. I hear that yesterday my counterpart, in some ways, Rabbi Scharf of Kedasia, agreed to stand in at short notice and give the shir. So at least I can say in Kashrus terms, it's Einu Ben Yoimei today. At least Linus Lilo, of course, since the end of this year. So it's okay to have a shir from the Beis Din. And one shir will not in any way affect the other. Now a question which has wondered about for some time. Special Shabbos is Shabbos Shira. Named, a Shabbos which is named as a result of the Parsha. Shabbos Shira, Vos Epos. All of a sudden, we name a Shabbos after the event of the parasha. We don't find this anywhere else at all. Possibly Shabbos Bereishis. All of a sudden here, Mapidon, you might well say. You could have Parashas Yisro, a Shabbos Matan Torah, would be a good name for the Shabbos. Shabbos Eretz Yisrael, when they arrive at the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And when you come to this week's parasha, there's many other events in the Sedra. Why is this the Shiro, the one to be highlighted? Kriyas Yamsuf, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Shabbos HaGeula would be a good name for it, possibly. You've got Yumon, got Amalek. I think actually, you've got the mitzvah of Shabbos being given. If you would ask any Jew in the pew, or we might say any Bocha from Gateshead, you've got Amon, you've got Shabbos, and you've got the Shira, which Kal Yisrael sung. What's the most important event of the parasha? Surely it has to be Shabbos. Shabbos would be a nice name for it, possibly. Chazal say, of course, Ro'oso Shivcho Halayom, Masha Lero Hanavim, as Rashi puts it. Another Girsa, Yoise Mimasha Ro Yechezku Ben Buzi. There was an extraordinary Madrego at Kriyas Yamsuf, which was never achieved anywhere else. We know that Yecheskel ben Buzi, he saw the Malachim, the Srofim, the Ifanim, the Masa Merkova, and the Shifcho Alayom, the most lowly of all of Kol Yisrael, saw more than even Yecheskel ben Buzi. The Mechilta says that there are only 10 shiras, only 10 songs. Harishona shenemer b'Mitzrayim, shenema ashi yielochem, keler itzkadosh chag. Hashniya al hayom, hashlish is al ha-be'er, oz yoshe moisha, haravis, sha'om ha-moisha, chamishis yom yoshua, shishis yom ha-dvoiro. Hasiris, the last one, is lo'osid lovo, shenema shiur la-Hashem, shir chodosh. So what is so special? I mean, we know, we've got the whole of Nevi'im, Yeshaya, Tehillim. What is so special? I remember, by the way, talking about why is it called Shabbos Shira, that several years ago, Shabbos Shira was the week in which there was an election in Israel between Sharon and Barak a few years ago. And the camp which supported Barak says that Beferi Shariah, this week's parasha, this week's Haftarah, Barak goes out to battle, and he's victorious together with Deborah. He's victorious. Zariah, Barak is your man. And the other said, on the contrary, it's called Shabbos Shira. Shira, Sharon Yiyeh Rosh HaMemshalah. So there we had a good reason. We understood why it should be Shabbos Shira, but every single year, what is it? I think if you look carefully in the introductory words of the Shira, you get some sort of insight. Yar Yisrael is Hayot HaGdoila She'os HaShem V'Mitzrayim. Yisrael saw the mighty deeds She'Kodesh Baruch Hu Dan V'Yiroham Es HaShem V'Yaminu B'Hashem Oz Yoshe Moshe. Some kind of special Madrigo of Emuna. We believe in HaShem, but when we look around the world, we don't see HaShem. We see a world of chaos. We don't see a coherent whole. We don't see Lashem Haaretz Umaloyo. Kodesh Baruch Hu, clearly these are puppets on the strings of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. We don't experience Mashbili Lirois Bashamayim Uvaaretz. We see Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, maybe the great and the grandeur of creation, We don't see that. So on the one hand, you see a wonderful world of nature. Mi'at Hashem, starting from tomorrow, we'll see a spring, maybe some sunshine again, flowers budding, and against that you see a terrible earthquake in Haiti. You see the kindness and compassion of man, millions being given in charity, and on the other side you see the cruelty of man. You see war and Holocaust, and you see a new rebirth in Eretz Yisrael. You see a reunification of Yerushalayim, Nisim and Niflois, and you see bombs and terror, Chalil Bachas. An incoherent world, full of contradictions. So although we believe in Hashem, we don't perceive. We don't see it. We have a belief. We don't have a sight, which is really knowledge. Now what is Shira? Shira is not just a song. It is... A song is a nigun. Find various different words. Zimra. A melody. Various different terms. Shira, Shuacha, Halel, the Zimra. Shira is when all the different harmonies come together in one whole. Hirsch, Shimshon Rafael Hirsch uses this marvelous expression. Shira is the rapturous expression of inner inspiration. An expression of that which the physical eye cannot see, but which has become clear to the inner eye, and then is expressed by means of Shira. So Kal Yisrael had seen the terrible suffering, the avodas, porach, the slavery, the afflictions, and then suddenly the elation of the plagues that the Mitzrayim are getting their due punishment. They see the deception that leads Paro to pursue them, and at the same time they got the weight of the treasures on their backs. They experience their hopelessness when they're fenced in from all sides, the sea, the Midbar, Paro behind them. Out comes all the old recriminations. Moshe has made things worse. Chodal Mimenu v'Navdas Mitzrayim, Kitov Lano Ovid is Mitzrayim v'Mosein b'Midbar, let's go back. And then when the sea splits and the Egyptians all drown, all doubts and all fears dissipate completely. Hisyatzvu ru'es Yeshua Hashem. They actually see the Yeshua Hashem. And then they understand Babel Zosem Adaticha Laman Teda, that now you're going to know and you're going to understand the Yad Hashem. Laman Revois Mosai Be'eretz Mitzrayim. This was the sudden flash of light which makes everything completely clear. You remember that Gevaldiga Moshel which Rabbi Elia gives by Rosh Hashanah. Hashem Oiri Ve'yishi. Hashem is my light. Say Chazal Be'Rosh Hashanah. And Rebellia says, like the one who's going through the dark forest, he's no idea, he's lost the path, he doesn't know which way to go, and suddenly there's a flash of lightning, for that brief moment, everything is lit up. He sees the derech before him, he sees the way to go, even though immediately the lightning ceases, no longer can he see the path, but now he knows the path. It's all absolutely clear to him from that one flash of lightning. And so great was that flash of inspiration that Yetzias Mitzrayim, that understanding that all the myriad events of great and small, past and future, all became clear. And that's why it's Oz Yoshia Moshe. That Shira continues for all time, because the flash of inspiration was enough to allow them to see the Yad Hashem and Havei Emunah for all time. So it was the future as well. They realized the harmony in creation. And when all of creation became one harmonious whole in their minds and in their hearts, that's when Oz Yoshe Moshe Rasa Shivcha Yom Mashalu Rasa. There's this tremendous story about the Yidden, beginning of the war, who were put in DP camps, German refugees who came over here. And were many of them deported to Australia on an infamous ship known as the De Nira. I think a book was written, The De Nira Boys. And they were treated extremely badly, they were maltreated, the ship was overcrowded, the crew who were looking after them were actually criminals who'd been given freedom from jail in order to take these German nationals away to Australia. They treated them extremely badly. One of the things they did is they searched all their cases, all their belongings for valuables. They stole their belongings and they threw the cases of their clothes, their precious mementos, their letters from home, their photographs, they threw them overboard into the sea. One day, as they were flying under a British flag through the waters, a German submarine, a U-boat, appears, sees a British ship, and fires a torpedo. The first torpedo misses. The U-boat re-aims. At that very moment that the torpedo is coming towards the ship, comes along an enormous wave, lifts up the ship, the torpedo which had been on target went straight underneath. The people were relieved, but trembling, the next one will undoubtedly get us, and there aren't any more torpedoes. Submarine disappears, off it goes. The most extraordinary thing, 40 years later, the commander of that German U-boat writes his memoirs, which were publicized in a newspaper. And he writes about this particular event. They shot one torpedo, and miraculously, he'd never experienced such a thing before. They were absolutely on target, comes along a wave and lifts up this ship. At that time, they saw strange objects floating in the water near the ship. He instructed his sailors to find out what these objects were, and they saw they were suitcases. They brought them on board, and they found in the suitcases were letters written in German. And they realized that the people on board were German nationals, and that's why they didn't fire any more torpedoes. So that's sort of something which you thought at the time was a terrible disaster, and actually is the Yad Hashem, is the Yeshua's Hashem which is happening. So it reminds one of the famous Chofetz Chaim in Parshas Vayigash, Vayoma Yosef ben Echov, Ani Yosef. They couldn't respond. They were absolutely speechless. So Chofetz Chaim explains, they were stunned by the light of the clarity of the understanding which they suddenly had. All this time they couldn't understand what was going on. There's accusations, a hin and a hair, innocent people coming down to buy some corn. And they're accused of being spies, and they're imprisoned. Their little brother wants to see the little brother. Maybe somebody wants to see. The king wants to see the little brother. What's going on here? Then they find their money in their sacks. Have to have a banquet with the emperor. What's tutzur? Goblet is in the sack. Mazos also lekim lonu. And suddenly, ani Yosef, with those two words, everything becomes clear. Similarly, says the Chofetz Chaim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the time of the Geula, Ani Hashem, the veil will be lifted from our eyes and we will understand everything that transpired through history. We will realize how all the pieces fit together, and this is Shira. That's what the meaning of Shira is. Shira, there's a Beit HaLevi. The Beit HaLevi brings a Medrash. Sha'omar Moshe Ba'oz Chotosi. Sha'amarti umei oz bosi el paro ledaber el paro heira homazeh, that I sinned when I came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I complained in front of him and I said to him, oz bosi el paro, you've made nothing better at all, it's all got worse, but oz ani ome shiro. So what's one got to do with the other? It explains the Beit HaLevi exactly this point, that normally when you give thanks on the Yeshua, you're giving thanks to the Yeshua, Baruch Hashem, but you'd rather the Torah had never happened. But when there's a really deep appreciation, what Shira al-Hayom was an appreciation and an understanding of the Shibud itself, that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was all the Yad Hashem, everything you did, he did was good. Odecha Hashem ki ini yisani, when you give thanks for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the original affliction, because it all becomes part of the total harmony and the total picture. So Shira really is a symphony. The Maharal says that the word Shira comes from the word Shir. Or maybe Sheir is the... We have it in the Mishnah in Shabbos. whether it's the poro, whether it's the horse, the chamor, can go out with a shear, with a circle, a necklace, which goes around it. The word shiro comes from the word shir, which means a circle. And that's why the malochim, who understand everything, can sing shiro the whole time. Kol bale hasher yutzim b'sher. The animals who wear a necklace and go out with this necklace, it's a share, it's the same word, it's a circle, something which is whole and complete, and is a total harmony when everything fits together. If you think about an orchestra playing, it's the most extraordinary thing. You have all these different parts. You have the strings, with the violins, and the violas, and the double basses. You have brass, totally different kind of instrument, trumpets, trombones, French horns. You have wind instruments, flutes and clarinets. You have percussion, with drums and cymbals. When it all comes together in one whole, that is maybe 100 different players in a major orchestra, that is an extraordinary expression of harmony. Schatoya in Imazgir, many years ago, I went to school, to an English public school, one of the events they used to do once every year, we used to put on a school operatic performance, and I sung in the... In Mendelssohn's Elijah and Handel's Messiah. And I used to sing the alto part. So that meant for at least a month, I think, we were practicing the alto. The alto is one of the harmonies. So it's not actually so tuneful initially, but of course as you sing over and over again, you get used to it, it's beautiful, you start to learn the whole harmony. I remember the first time, the extraordinary uplifting understanding when we had the first dress rehearsal, and you got together with the sopranos and the tenors and the basses and the orchestra, all playing different pieces, that amazing feeling of harmony when you realize that when your low note actually harmonizes with somebody's high note, and your moment of silence is when the other people come in. You never appreciated that before. It's the incredible understanding of what harmony is actually about. And this is the meaning in the final Tehillim, of all the Tehillim, Hallelu, Halleluka, Halleluka, Bukocha, Lubiki, Uzo, Hallelu, Beseka, Shofar, Hallelu, Beneva, Bechinar, praise him with the shofar, praise him with the harp, and with the lyre, Betofu, Bemochoil, Beminim, Beugov, the flute and the organ, Betzilzele Shama, Betzilzele Srua, Koyelan, the Shama, to Halleluka. That the proper way to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with the total harmony of one's existence, all the different feelings. I remember actually hearing chat on this from Rabbi Mordechai Miller, Zichron Livracha, in Gateshead, who said a moshel, which I think today you couldn't even say, never mind even then, it was sort of, even then he said it carefully, but he said, some of you might know what a cinema is. Today you wouldn't even say that, Yeshiva Bacharim. You might know what a cinema is. You know, it's an amazing thing when people come out of a cinema, sometimes it's been a very tragic film, very, very sad, and they're all, and they come out crying, and as they're blowing their noses on their tissues, and say, oh, it was a marvellous film. I really enjoyed that. What do you mean you really enjoyed that? You're in floods of tears. He says, when you can express all your emotions, feelings which are usually bottled up inside you and don't get used, that in itself, that utilization of emotions is a tremendous feeling, a wonderful feeling of elation that you can get, that you can make use of all those koichos. As a moshel to this whole scenario, this is where I wanted to bring the state banquet into it. Several years ago, there was, when President Weizmann was invited, the one and only actually state banquet which the Queen has hosted for the State of Israel, President of the State. And we had the occasion to cater to about 150 people, of which about 50 or 60 were eating kosher in Buckingham Palace. And even though normally I wouldn't make a point of being there either as the Mashgiach or on top of the Mashgiach, obviously, such an important event as this, the President of the State of Israel, it's important I was there in person just to keep an eye and make sure that things were done properly. And the most extraordinary thing, I mean, it's a whole talk in itself, I don't I'm not able now to have the time to go into the whole thing, but a front page of the Times, we had Buckingham Palace kitchens go kosher for a night. And that's in had a proper hechsher, people had on the table with the just the logo of the Beis Din, but the stamp of the emblem of Her Majesty itself, Elizabeth Regina, your menu tonight has been prepared and cooked under the supervision of the Beis Din. So, if she says so, it must be good. But, most interesting thing, there's a whole hierarchy of staff. Misharusim. A whole hierarchy of staff, and the person I had to deal with, wonderful, fabulous titles. We dealt with the assistant master of the household, F branch. The fellow who looks after the food. F branch, the food branch. Assistant master of the household. The person who looks after the kalim, the crockery, the cutlery, who what are you going to use? The butler of the silver pantry. But apart from the magnificence of the palace itself, and the fabulous laid tables, and the beautiful kalim which they're using, they don't just use waiters to serve. Serving at the Suda, there were footmen, pages, butlers, under-butlers, and wine waiters. And the interesting thing is the wine waiters were Jewish as well. So just to give you a flavour, there were complex instructions. The following procedures should be carefully followed, every single aspect of the Suda. I'll just give you literally the main course, because we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but it's amazing. Listen to this, the main course. Footman to bring in the plates. Page to hand the plates. Under butler brings in the meat dish and returns for the sauce. Page hands the meat dish. The Jewish wine butler, because it was Yain, it wasn't Yain Mavushel, so we had to have Jewish people to pour the wine. The Jewish wine butler to serve the sauce, maybe have wine in. The footman to serve the green beans. The under butler to serve the potatoes. The page to hand the dressed salad. The Jewish wine butler, directed by the page, serves the red wine. The under butler returns the dirty dishes to the cross gallery. All these people resplendent in different uniforms, because they got different tafkidim, all following their own instructions. And by the way, at the same time, you've got the pipers of the Scots Guards playing their bagpipes, wandering around the hall with their plumes coming off their hats and their flags, and they're resplendent in their kilts and their sporrans. It could be a scene of total chaos. But in fact, it's a scene of magnificence, of great magnificence. It's a wonderful moshel for our achdus in serving the King of Kings. The dignity and majesty of a royal banquet, and they certainly don't serve corn, that I can tell you, but the dignity and majesty, that demands variety. If everything is all exactly the same, if everything on the plate looks exactly the same, if all the utensils are exactly the same, it's difficult to actually express the magnificence of this. There were, actually I think they had, you know, sometimes you go to a choshva banquet, you don't just have one glass, you have two, or a good suda, you have three glasses. At the palace, I think it was six, actually.
I went to see this.
Okay. Yeah. They have something like, I know of five. One for the water, one for the white wine, one for the red wine, one for the champagne, one for the champagne for the pudding at the end, a different champagne, one for the port at the end. They're all tight chicken by the time they finish. Anyway. Provided it's all in harmony, then this variety is nothing wrong. On the contrary, what a wonderful model for us to realize that to have different groupings within Klal Yisrael, Ashkenazim and Sfardim and Hasidim and Bel, Fatma, Lubavitch, whatever it may be, each with their own derech, Adarava, that all adds to the tremendous majesty in serving the Melech Malchem Lochem. And that's why you find this extraordinary chazal, that when they crossed the Yom Suf, they crossed with 12 paths. It couldn't be better, a little bit of achdus, had to have 12 different paths, at least when they crossed the Yom Suf. And that seems to be in praise of what actually took place at the time. The territory is that the fact that each shevet has its own path through the sea, and there are 12 splits, is to be extolled. Each one has its own derech. And provided they're all going by achdus together, forget that's a gewaldige sach. So this shira resulted from the inspiration of Nisim Guluyim, open miracles. We have to ask ourselves the question that we who don't see miracles, how can we raise ourselves to such a level of emunah to see that harmony in creation? So towards the end of the parasha, you find the parasha Zamot. And it is a fascinating question asked by Chasam Sofer on the Parshas Amon. Mon fell every day, nisim minifloys. What bracha did they make before they ate mon? What was the bracha? People say shekel. So he says gvaldik, he says, actually, it's virtually the pasuk, amamti elochem lechem min ha-shamayim. Imagine when Klal Yisrael, at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, come to Eretz Yisrael, there's no more mon, They eat the grain which is left over, and then the grain which they make it into flour, into bread, and then the last little bit, and it's all running out. What are we going to do now? It's a new dur, born in the Midbar. They're not used to ploughing and sowing. They know nothing about it. They've never done it. Their sustenance comes min ha-shamayim. Every single day, it's absolutely nature. You go out, you collect the rain from the clouds, it's your water, you collect the mon from the ground. So, what should we do now? We're going to starve. So some wise men tell them, or maybe it was the wise bubbas, because they came from the previous dur, they survived, you may recall. You take your last bit of grain, and you plant it. And next year, there'll be a new harvest. This last valuable bit of grain which you're eating, you're going to put it in the ground, it's going to rot and decompose. On the contrary, you will see the nace of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Mashiv HaRuach HaMoyud HaGeshem Machal Kalchayim B'Chesed. The panos of Achal Kala is that Tchiyas HaMeisim. You'll put it in the ground, and the winds will blow, and the rain will fall, and Machal Kalchayim. Your new grain will grow up. And can you imagine the first time they took that first loaf of bread, which they'd grown themselves with their own hands, and they said, Baruch atah Hashem ha-motzi lechem min ha-oretz. Finish up, I don't understand. That's what we've always seen, it's poshut. Motzi lechem min ha-oretz. You can put something down in the ground, it decomposes, you bury it, turns to rubbish, and you get new grain. That's absolutely the most incredible nice. At the end of the parasha, we're taught an even more profound lesson. If everything is nisim and nifloys, and everything is the Yad Hashem, and everything is Hashkocha Protis in the world, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is controlling every single nekuda, so maybe we can't influence it in any way. What's our input into this? So I want to share with you a gewaldige vort I heard from Ramatzio, Shlita, when he was Mashkiach and Gated, I heard it in Ishmuz. I remember most of them, but this was a nice Gewaltige Wort. So the Rashi brings down the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah, that when they're fighting with Amalek, Moshe goes up to the top of the mountain, Maharan Vachor are holding up, supporting his hands, and when his hands are up, they're victorious. When his hands come down, then they start to be defeated. And the Mishnah asks, the Chiyadov Shel Moshe, Osim Melchoma, Shevris Melchoma, but in the hands of Moshe make victory in battle. Thank goodness for the song, we remember at least one Mishnah. So Hoyim is Gavrim. So when the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the hands, then they look upwards at the hands and they see the Shemayim, they direct their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they're victorious, and if not, then they will be defeated. Ramatzio asks the Gewaldige Kasha. What do you mean, V'chiyado Shel Moshe Oseh Melchoma? And can the hands of Moshe bring victory in war? Ach, avada not. It's to do with being mishabed your hearts to Kodesh Baruch Hu. A yadov shel Moshe? A kleiner kite? He said, what are you talking about? Yadov shel Moshe? Yadov shel Moshe brought the Makkos in Mitzrayim. Yadov shel Moshe killed the Mitzrayim. Yadov shel Moshe split the sea. Yadov shel Moshe oses mechoma? Avada yadov shel Moshe oses mechoma? Of course the hands of Moshe, for the last several parishes have been doing this in minifloys. All of a sudden you're asking the Yod of Shal Moshe, how can Moshe do this? It's a different question. The question is, the Yod of Shal Moshe, Oysos Melchoma! Hang on a second. Nisim minifloys, I understand. A supernatural koyach, he does nisim with the matter of Moshe. But here we're talking about Melchoma, they had to go out and do battle, this is Derech HaTeva. What's the Yod of Shel Moshe got to do in the middle of a Melchoma? Melchoma were going out to fight. Well, if the Klal Yisrael stayed in their tents and Moshe got up the mountain, I don't understand, Yod of Shel Moshe. The Yod of Shel Moshe says Melchoma? What's the Yod of Shel Moshe got to do with Melchoma? On which the Teretz is, yeah. We can bring a supernatural influence to bear even in Melchoma. Even in something which is derech ha-teva. Through tefillah, through tefillah, you can have a direct relationship with the Rabboni Shel Olam, and you can thereby affect the outcome of things even in teva. And then, when you appreciate and you understand that, you can stand every day, and you can say shiro, and have the realization that we are part of the whole total harmony of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's universe. May we speedily be zeicha to the time when we no longer sing Shir Hashem al Admas b'nei Necha, but Shir Hamalis v'shuv Hashem as Shir Siyun, Oz Yimolei Sog Pino, Ufaneinu Rino, Mi'ez Hashem b'korov v'mehir v'amenu.
Amen. Amen.